It's amazing.
Yes.
It's amazing. If you're thinking, Ruben, you've never sounded better. Well, I wish I could say it was something that I did, but no, it's the amazing equipment here in the undisclosed location. The problem is the historic Coastal Windage Studios was right on Main Street, just right there, looking over like the 300 block or 400 block of Main Street, the beating heart of the coast side. And now, not. So, and the interns and management was like, well, you don't need to tell people that. Just, you know, it's magic of radio and all that. And yes, I agree, but it bothers me. And I feel like we need to be honest with the listeners that, like, no, we're not sitting right on Main Street anymore, even though our opening continues to say that. We have to, I guess, update the opening, but,
we are still on the coast side, though.
That's true. I mean, otherwise, there's no show. Literally, if we weren't on the coast side, coast side news, there would be no show. Okay, we have a presence here. We do our show from the coast side.
I still got coffee at the coffee shop.
Exactly. Still got to battle traffic all the way down Highway 1. It's just, you know, some things don't change. Okay.
Although with the kids out of school, it was smooth sailing.
Oh, I know. You're just like, oh, if it was this way every day. Okay. And the new studio that they're supposedly building for us is supposed to be an amazing high-tech wonderland modeled after the Sphere in Vegas. You know, so that could be...
Because Coastsiders would love that.
Yes, I mean, you know, so... And then maybe it'll be even better than the elevated viewing studio that we had before. We have no live studio audience now in this undisclosed location because it is an undisclosed location. If we had studio members...
I like calling it the bunker. I liked that.
The bunker? Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Okay, and as part of it... I mean, it only took me 8 years to halfway memorize the old phone number. So no. Now we have a new phone number. So, okay, get out your Rolodex. Get out your pen and paper, whatever you use. 650, that part hasn't changed, surprisingly. 650-712-1233. Okay, that number again. 650-712-1233. 3-3. The bar is very low for me, I know. Yes. I can say numbers. I can repeat numbers off of a piece of paper. Yes, thank you very much. Yes, there it is. All right, so go ahead and call. Welcome us to the...
bunker.
To the bunker, exactly. Okay, and we will be here, like we're always here on air every Friday, 9 to 10 a.m. going forward. Don't worry about it. We're here. Join us. Listen to the podcast format. It's not a podcast. It's not a podcast, but we record it and then management calls it a podcast because SEO, you got to use the terms that the kids are using these days. So,
yes.
So you can listen to any show after the fact. Just go to KHNB website and look for Coastal Windage. Thank you. Yeah, what is the name of this show exactly? It's something. Okay, here's today's topics. Let's just dive in. Coastsidia. Really excited about this. We'll get into that in a couple minutes. Coastsidia! Exclamation point. Oh, this one's for you, Crystalline. The San Mateo County Event Center of your dreams.
Yes.
Really? You know, like...
I was a part of some of those meetings. It was fun.
Oh, okay. Well, we'll get right into that as well. And a deep dive into the Coastal Windage email bag. Okay, that should be fun. All right, let's get to the air quality report. Today is one of those days. So we always have the good air quality. Scale 0 to 50 is incredible. Really, I think people have become immune to the scale. Like, zero, we're always in zero. But 0 to 50 is amazing. And you know, people around the world would be dying to are dying from not having 0 to 50 air quality, and they'd be dying to have 0 to 50 air quality, and we just take it for granted because we're always in that range. I mean, maybe a couple shows a year, one of the communities on the coast side, because somebody's burning a big fire or something, is outside the 0 to 50 range. Otherwise, we're squarely in it. And here we are again today, hold on to your hats, 3 in El Granada. I mean, well, I didn't even discuss what is beyond 0 to 50 incredible because it's irrelevant. 3 in El Granada, 3 in Half Moon Bay, 5 in Redwood City, 10 in Santa Cruz. Okay, today's Easter egg location is so removed and ridiculously hard to figure out. If you can figure it out, listeners, we will give you 5, not 1, but 5 Coastal Windage Bucks.
Whoa, that's enough for your whole family.
Each one has at least a... no, that's not the right... I said card 4, which is the, like, balloons popping and the fireworks, not the, like...
That's okay. What Frank thinks okay. of the windage
Noah,
bucks.
Noah, second engineer, take the box away from Frank, please. Okay. That's at least, that's $100 worth of discounts per card. That's over $500 worth of discounts if you could figure out why today in Spokane, Washington, it's 21. So pretty good in Spokane, Washington. So figure it out, Coastsiders. 5 windage bucks in it for you, Spokane, Washington. All right, let's get right into it. Coastsidia. We got to figure out the right
I don't even know what you're saying.
Exactly. Well, we're working on copywriting this term. Could be huge. It could be absolutely huge. So, Coastsidia.
TM.
This is a term that we are workshopping to apply to, like, the bric-a-brac that it, of the coastside, you know, just like miscellaneous coastside stuff. So Coastsidia, it's a no. You're giving me a look.
I'm sorry.
This is gonna be amazing. Okay, here's one of the reasons this is gonna be amazing.
I don't even know how you get to that not word.
Exactly, because it's all in the branding, my friend. Go ahead and type Coastsidia into your Google machine. You know what comes back?
Nothing.
not one thing that says Coastsidia, not one image. Nothing. We broke the internet. We've created nobody in the history of the English language, at least, or at least the internet, has ever used this word. Eureka.
It sounds like an affliction.
Well, it is in a way, right? It's a condition. Coastsidia. You've got, I'm sorry to tell you,
you have Coastsidia.
Ms. Crystalline, you have terminal Coastsidia. To which you would say, yes, thank you.
I've made it.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I've been trying to get.
I'm only seven years on the Coastside. I cannot claim Coastsidia.
All right, well, you're working towards your 20-year chip. That's the first chip that you get is 20 years. So you're working on it. You've got a mild case of Coastsidia right now.
I have Coastsidia of the toe. Just dipping my toe.
Yeah, now that's starting to like get on the like. But I mean, we broke the internets. We found a word that applies to the Coastside that nobody in the history of the English language has ever used before. It's par for the course for the brilliant creative minds here at the Coastal Windage Radio Program and Branding Studio. Okay. Breaking ground and taking names since 2017. Coastal Windage, baby. All right, talking about taking names. Zoe Chait, friend of the show, hometown surfing legend, Zoe Chait added another chip to her already impressive large stack with a second place showing in the thriller at Killers. So we talked about, I don't know, I'm going to say last year maybe 2 years ago that Zoe, who we've had on the show, I think we had her on the show, when did we have her on the show? I'm going to say January 7th, 2022. Wow. We got to get her back on. It's been a while. She was killing it in regular surfing, right? Just taking first place. She was on the under 18 U.S. national team. A couple other things. The Jetty Classic. She pretty much owns the Jetty Classic. But that wasn't enough.
She had to go save lives.
Well, and she's a lifesaver, which... That wasn't the job she was doing, but because she's awesome and she's in the water a lot, she happened to be in a situation where she could use her amazing swimming skills and her great personality to save someone. But that wasn't enough either. She had to take on big wave surfing. So for the last couple of years, she's been working out at Mavericks. And this thriller at Killers is a big wave surfing contest. Down in the Todos Santos Islands near Ensenada, Mexico. My old stomping grounds, Ensenada, Mexico. I grew up in San Diego, and we did many a road trip to Ensenada. Not for surfing, for motorcycle riding. Up in the hills there. So that's near and dear to my heart. It's a big wave surf competition on the island down there. What I like about it is it's still actually a one-day surf competition. So there's a digital qualifier. I guess you have to send in a video to get into the event. But then it's a main event where you're actually, everybody's there that day in a January-February swell window. Mm-hmm. Sound familiar?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, it's what the amazing thing called Mavericks used to be before all the corporate interests and everybody tried to start making money off it, and now it's ruined, and now it's just a video event. So, I mean, I know people are out there doing it, but it's not a one-day event anymore.
Well, and I think part of the problem, too, was the being able to view it was not safe.
I mean, I'm groaning like that because, yes, somebody actually ended up getting killed in 2006 when people were up on the side there and some rocks came down and hit somebody. That problem is easily avoided. Could be easily avoided. And then I think, not 2000, I think it was 2009, a rogue wave came in and came over the little like demi wall there, and somebody got like a compound fracture in their leg because it was a large amount of water that came into the tent area and like swept some people away. So, okay, but I mean, these are solvable problems. The reason that it's no longer a one-day event is because it got all messed up by people trying to make money off it. And who owns it, and when are we doing it, and what's the advertising, and what's my cut? And so it just, when you've got that much, people want the stability of, you can't have this, like, we don't know whether we're going to have it or not have it this year.
Yeah.
And it used
That's
to be
kind of
like
hard
there
to
was
sell
some
the sponsors.
Yeah, there was going to be some standards of like the waves have to be, you know, this size at this frequency with wind under this amount, or it's not happening, because that was, you know, it was all about the surfing. But that changed, and now we've got a video event where it's like, you know, it's not everybody surfing in the same conditions at the same place at the same time, nor do we have people congregating to come and see it, which, yes, there was traffic and some safety issues, but those 2 years of 2006 and 2008 for Mavericks, because of the weather and the turnout and the surfing, I think 2006 was Twiggy's first year that he won, was amazing. Those 2 years were just the high point. And it's kind of not been the same ever since. But okay. So Zoe is now doing big wave surfing contests. She was invited to this event as a wild card. And she finished second to the winner, Katie McConnell. Bianca Valente, another Mavericks veteran, was in the contest, and she finished fourth. Side note to Zoe's accomplishment here and elsewhere. She's probably the most famous. I mean, she's famous for being a surfer, but she's probably most famous for being an alumnus of the Coastal Windage Reverse Curse. as I said, we are the propellant in many a career explosion, if I may say that.
Yeah.
Not in many a career dumpster fire, in many of a career explosion, a propellant, you know, like rocket, you're bursting into the stratosphere of your career. We're not the only reason for her success, but, you know, we're in there. She joins other very successful people who achieved their current level of success only after being on the show. Maybe coincidence. I'm just saying the timeline is there.
We should just rename the show Coastal Gas. We're the gas to their tank.
Yeah, there you go. Coastal explosive. Just all right. Frank's giving me the like. She joins other luminaries such as Sam Liccardo, Justin Ferdinand, Julie Engelman, Beach Break Film Festival. All, you know, were propelled into the stratosphere where they are now. After, are they? All that occurred just coincidentally, maybe after they were on the show. So, okay, the Zamboni machine's coming through. Hold on. All right. So congratulations, Zoe. I mean, hometown hero. We love her. Okay. Is it me?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Next topic. I mean, that was too easy. I mean, generally the answer to that is yes. Whatever follows, the answer is yes. But if we could be serious for a moment on the show, like we always are.
Ew.
Is it me or have there been a lot of shelter-in-place SMC alerts lately?
Yes. Really tragic.
Tragic and also, huh? The one in Bean Hall. The problem with these SMC alerts is I understand law enforcement or first responders intentionally give minimal information. Mm-hmm. Because they don't want looky-loos or whatever, or people flocking there.
Well, in theory, too, when the SMC alert is going out, they might not know the full weight of the situation. So it's like hard to put out there that, you know, somebody's potentially being stabbed to death.
Yeah, but then you never get the follow up. Like, I get that while it's an active thing, like, so like the thing in Bean Hollow. Like, all I ever know about, there was something happened at Bean Hollow. What happened?
Oh, the scuttlebutt is that.
Scuttlebutt, but no official, no follow up. Like, it was closed down, shelter in place, don't go there, bad stuff happening, and then it's all over now, nothing to see here, never mind. What happened? So scuttlebutt, but not confirmed. Scuttlebutt is...
Yes, unconfirmed, or at least unconfirmed to me, is that, yeah, somebody was trying to stab, murder somebody else. And that they, my understanding, if that's true, that it was not locals.
Well, you know, I don't like the non-follow-up.
Yes.
Thank you for the warning. I appreciate it. I stayed away, and now I want to know what happened. And that's the missing piece here, that if I could give a word of advice to SMC Alerts or the county or whoever, it actually degrades your credibility to do that because people start to feel like, oh, well, it must not have been that big of a deal. And then the next thought is, oh, the last few times it wasn't that big of a deal. I never heard anything about it. So I'm going to kind of disregard this one. It's probably nothing.
Or it allows the rumors to...
It allows the rumors, exactly.
Rampant.
Exactly. The amount, when these SMC alerts come out, it's like get the popcorn emoji out and get on Nextdoor, and like the range of like theories of what it is or people claiming to actually know that are nowhere even close to the truth, this is part of the problem. And so it bothers me, and I'm just saying it feels like there's been a lot of them lately, and... But I don't know what ever actually happened on any of them except for, unfortunately,
yesterday.
I guess when people die. Well, yesterday, what happened yesterday?
Oh,
the thing in Pacifica or the thing in Half Moon Bay? Or which SMC alert are we talking about?
Yeah, the shelter in place for yesterday. Again, I'm going to say scuttlebutt because I this is just what I've heard, was that it was a successful suicide. Mm. So, yeah. Not a good week on the coast. Not a good week on the coast side for the last 2 weeks, honestly.
And people might say, well, that's why they don't tell you, because it's, you know what? The world happens. Like, yes, we need to know the good and the bad. Like, I'm sorry. That's very tragic. But I would like to know some details about it. It could help. It could be informative. Also, this is my community. Mm-hmm. Maybe I'm worried about somebody.
Yeah.
You know, I just... If we're going to give information, then give information. Don't treat me like some child, like you don't need to know all of the story. Here you go. Like, just here's a little bit of it. Now go along your way. Like, nothing to see here. No, there is something to see here because you said it's shelter in place. When I see shelter in place, those are serious words.
Yeah.
And I want to know why.
Yeah.
You can tell me later. I don't need to know because I understand it's a developing story. But later, I want to know why.
Interesting. Like, totally random. When... The shelter in place came out on the phone through the SMC alert. My initial reaction is like, I'm still stuck in the pandemic stuff. So it's like when I hear shelter in place, I was like, oh, zombie apocalypse starting now. Like, oh, like, is this a 5 month thing? Is this a two? What is happening? It's like, it did not even dawn on me at first that the shelter in place meant that something, you know, like murdery was potentially happening. Like, my first reaction ingrained in my brain was that something viral was happening and that we were going to be stuck at home for 6 months.
Coastsiders, if you have a thought about the shelter in place warnings or messages, SMC alerts, give us a call at that new number, 650-712-1233. Being a little bit older, when I hear shelter in place, it gives me a little bit of, like, yeah, you know, a little tick, because that term came into my consciousness after 9/11. Mm. When there was worries about anthrax and other, like, chemical, you know, bombs being, and the good old Department of Homeland Security, which was created at that time, there, you know, be afraid, be very afraid, shelter in place, and if you do, get some thin plastic sheeting and some duct tape to, you know, keep these harsh chemicals out, because that'll save you. Shelter in place doesn't really work for nuclear weapons. I mean, unless you've got, you know, a 300-foot deep bunker. So shelter in place was kind of like a little bit of a joke of, like, so if there's chemical weapons being used here, we're going to just hang out in our house and we'll be fine. All right. So shelter in place gives me a little bit of, like, All right. Did you see the video? Speaking of Nextdoor, did you see the video of the, I'm just going to, okay, the purported, the video of a purported bald eagle in El Granada? Have you seen this video?
I've heard about it, but I haven't seen it.
I mean, it's definitely seemingly a video of a bald eagle. There's no way to tell that it's El Granada. And I say purportedly / allegedly or comma allegedly.
Maybe sort of, kind of, huh?
Yeah. Well, I'm not casting aspersions, okay? I don't know this person, and I'm not saying that it's not true. I'm just saying that I didn't see it, and there's no distinguishing thing in the video to show that it was El Granada. So I'm just saying, in this day and age, everything of AI, everything has to be questioned.
Would a bald eagle be like that rare? Like, are they so specific to certain areas? I don't know. I feel like bald eagles are kind of like in a lot of places.
I've heard that there's some in Pescadero in the marsh there, but they're not common here. There occasionally there has been one, but this rarely do we see a video of one feeding like this. And in El Granada, it would be noteworthy, newsworthy, which is
cool,
which is why there was a big, you know, hubbub on Nextdoor and why we're mentioning it now, because if it's real, awesome. But as I said, in this day and age, everything has to be questioned. For example, have you seen, going in the last couple days, this trail cam footage of a lost chihuahua in Minnesota hanging out with a wolf pack?
Oh, I heard of that.
The trail cam footage of this little chihuahua in one scene where there's, like, you can kind of see some shadowy figures in the background. And then the next scene where the chihuahua seems to be in the exact same place that it was before. And now it's surrounded by three or four, like, big, like, timber wolves, which, again, real or Memorex, and if it's real, amazing.
Yeah,
but
it's so hard. I keep getting disappointed, not to steer away from, like, the animal cuteness, but I keep getting disappointed because I see all these videos of, like, cool house stuff that people do. Like, I love interior design and decorating things, and especially in planning a wedding, I'm, like, looking up all kinds of cool stuff, and then it's like I get halfway through the video and realize, like, oh, that's AI. That's not even a real thing. Like, yes, somebody could probably do that thing for real, but realizing that the video is just an AI version of that thing is, like, just disappointing. I'm like, I want to see real people do the real cool stuff.
Real people doing real cool stuff.
Yeah.
That ship has sailed. We are 1 foot into the Matrix right now. 1 foot into the Matrix. We're just going to be all living in watery pods with a bunch of cables connected to us, living in AI fantasy.
Harumph.
And thud. Was that a thud I heard? Yes. Okay. Again, back to the bald eagle video. If it's real, and we're not saying it's not, but if it's real, it is spectacular. As is the idea that we now may have bald eagles hanging around. There are, on Nextdoor, people were very excited about it, but there was also people think, and I'm actually gratified that people expressed this sentiment. There were concerns on Nextdoor about the glyphosate poisoning of rodents and how that might affect bald eagles, not to mention the raptors that are already here, owls and hawks and whatnot. We had Melinda McNaughton of El Granada Advocates on last week to speak to that very issue. So it's interesting that the week after we had Melinda talking about poisons and what they can do to the ecosystem, here we have the symbol not only of the United States, but of environmental poisoning. The DDT epidemic of the 70s, where that chemical was causing the eggshells of large birds like the bald eagle specifically to be too thin to let the chicks go through to maturity, is one of the reasons that we got rid of DDT. Mm-hmm. And so to have this bald eagle show up the week after Melinda was on talking about poisons, I think is very providential. If I'm just making that up. That sounded good to me. And it filled the rest of the time of that 15 seconds we had. And now we go to our commercial break.
This is Community Radio for the Coast Side. 100.9 KHMP. Coastal Windage is brought to you by Cameron's Restaurant and Pub in Half Moon Bay. Come for the food, stay for the fun. That's Cameron's Restaurant and Pub on Highway 1 in Half Moon Bay.
Hi, this is Jay Michaels. Make sure to join me and Stan Warren Luttrell coming up at 10 o'clock right after Coastal Windage. We'll have a look at today in history, plus we'll get to a brand new forgotten find. It all happens at 10 a.m. right here from 100.9 FM KHMB.
All right, and we're back. This is Ruben and Crystalline on Coastal Windage, the talk of the coast. The Coastside's only live. We're live. It's happening right now. In real time, the Coastside's only live call-in talk radio show. Call in, I say. Do it. And we've got a brand new number for you because we're in the undisclosed location. 650-712-1233. Okay, you know what else is back? We're back from commercial break. Dream Machines is back.
Woohoo!
Been re-upped for another year. It's going to be on April 26th, 2026. This is a really cool event and also an important event. It's the main fundraiser for the Coastside Adult Day Health Center. We had co-founder, longtime organizer, and former director of the event, Chad Hooker, on our April 18th, 2025 show. So if you want to hear all about Dream Machines and kind of the inner workings of it, check out that episode, April 18th, 2025. On Nextdoor again, that's where I saw this posting of when Dream Machines will be this year. Natalie Down, who has also been a guest on this show. Natalie is an amazing community advocate and potter. She makes pottery. So is that,
she's an artist.
Yes. But she makes ceramic pottery, I believe.
I think she does a lot of different things.
I know. She's one of those people that just like, why can you do everything and I can do nothing?
Sometimes has a booth at the farmer's market.
Yes.
And I feel like there's a variety.
Okay, well, that makes sense because she posted this question asking, how do you become a vendor and what is the criteria for being a vendor? And she pointed out, and it's not hating to point something out as constructive criticism is not hating.
Mm-hmm.
So this is part of the problem with our society today. Everybody's thin is so thin. Thin skin.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not hating to agree with Natalie when she points out that the vendors last year and kind of trending this way have been pretty generic. Like, you know, like kind of like any festival USA. Like, okay, so pretty generic, not specific to old cars or the coast side or something like that. Pumpkin Festival, there can be some generic vendors, but there's also, it's pumpkin themed. It's half moon, it's coast side stuff. I mean, you get some, you know, real specificity there. And I agree with Natalie, like the vendors seem a bit stale and generic. And I like this because I think it's a really unexplored element to this event. It could be super cool. And what
there's
saying,
so many like car related like events, especially like in Pleasanton and Dublin and stuff like that. So it's not that those types of vendors are not nearby. Like, you know, I have a aunt who inherited from her husband a business that deals with old car memorabilia and replicas, and they actually hand restore old license plates. So it's like if you have like a 1942 coupe, then and when you got it, it didn't have its original license plate, you can actually go to them and get a 1942 license plate that would match and DMV ready and all of this stuff. So there's like cool stuff like that that exists out there. So
exactly.
I feel like it would not be the hardest.
No, and in fact, I think that this is something they should really think about. I think listeners to the show will know, remember that my dad collected old car stuff. He was a founding member of the CHVA, which is the Classic and Historic Vehicle Association, in the mid-60s, a founding member of the Buick Club of America. He collected old Buicks and all kinds of stuff. He's passed on, but we have sheds full of OEM parts from the 30s and 40s, in addition to at least 70 or 80 crates of vintage car literature. So if you have a 1949 Ford, we got the owner's manual for that, or we got the shop manual, or we got the, that would have all the timing and all the, like, what the mechanic would need, or we have the showroom literature for that. And that would be something. So a small swap meet or vendor area for vintage stuff. I'm not, in going to all kinds of old car swap meets through my childhood, the swap meet was the main thing. And then in the afternoon, they would have something like the car show or something like that. And so I just really think to add another element of both vendors, but cash, you know, financial transactions and a level of interest of like, here's not only the cars, but here's some equipment that you could use to work on the cars yourselves. Here's some vintage materials from the periods of these cars. Here's related stuff like Petronilia. I know it sounds a little weird. It's I'm trying to find it. Petroliana, which is things related to gasoline and gasoline companies. There's a whole market of people that collect that kind of stuff, which is obviously related to cars. It could be really, really cool to have that on just a part of Dream Machines.
Yeah.
So I appreciate Natalie for bringing this idea up, and maybe that's something that could happen. All right, let's get on to Crystalline.
Yes.
When you think of the San Mateo County Event Center of your dreams, what does it look like? I know that you do lay awake at night thinking about how great the San Mateo County Event Center could be.
I can. Yeah. So I can tell you that I actually do have a little dream for that. Because, again, as I mentioned earlier, I got to be a part of one of the stakeholder meetings.
Were you part of the team that put together the survey?
No. There's a professional group that's been hired to do that kind of stuff. But one of my notes to, and the gal who is in charge of the event center is super, super cool, super nice. And also the board members who are really spearheading this. And so my feedback, first and foremost, was I've lived on the coast side and in San Mateo County for 7 years, and I have only been to the event center, the convention center, twice, and both of them were for government meetings. Like, I've never had a reason to go there because I'm not a fair person, and they don't have concerts there that are the kind that I would, you know, want to go to. And so that my feedback to them was it would be great if there was more variety there. And then I have a secret wish where I'm angling to try to have whenever it gets redone, you know, and they name the different meeting rooms and ballrooms different names, I sit here before you and say I'm going to try my darndest to have one of those rooms named that Half Moon Bay Coast Side Ballroom or something.
Okay, good. Well, yes, represent. Well, the San Mateo County Event Center is performing a study to evaluate options for the modernization and expansion of the facilities.
Oh, sorry, and before people freak out, I want to note that this does not mean that the fair is going anywhere. So they have the land was deeded to them, I believe, by the state. And it is like written into the deed of the land that a county fair must happen on that land. And like, so a lot, because that came up a lot in the stakeholder meetings of people being scared that this meant that if that place got redone, they were going to oust the fair in some way, either by just limiting the land or whatever. No, the fair is safe.
Well, we'll see about that. I we'll see. I mean, agreements are agreements, but money talks, and we live in a cult of technology here. So I have a hard time believing the sheep are going to win out. Oh, I mean, the sheep are part of the cult of technology, but that the sheep will win out over code. But the goal of this survey is to maintain and grow the SMCEC as the leading event center within the San Francisco Bay Area. Uh-oh, Moscone Center, are you listening?
Yep.
You got competition, maybe. Okay, so, Crystalline, would you care to answer a few of the questions from the survey? This might inform your vision of the of what it would look like. Okay. I got this survey, and I'm like, ah, blah. But I opened it up, and the questions were so, and the options for answers were so compelling that I ended up doing the whole thing and spending 15, 20 minutes of it because the questions are kind of curious. So here we go. Here's question. What is your relationship with the SMCEC, the SMCEC being the San Mateo County Event Center? What is your relationship? Are you a general? And so it's like, that's what I mean. What is my relationship? What do you mean? So they gave you some, this is not really, you can answer this if you want, but that's just like an example of the like.
I'm just like, oh, is the event center on OK Cupid? What's happening?
Yeah, I know. Like, it's complicated. I don't know, you know. Your choices were general attendee, exhibitor, 4-H participant, event planner, SMCEC staff member, or performer. So that's your relationship. So I guess general attendee?
Yeah.
I mean, fair and not fair. Those were two options. General attendee, fair. General attendee, non-fair. So you would be non-fair.
I'd
okay.
be non-fair.
What events do you attend at the SMCEC?
Government meetings.
Yeah, I think I've been to a couple of government meetings and the fair. I've been to the fair. What do you like most about the campus? And it gave a variety of things, which, okay. Here we get it. Okay. I got to get my ears serious. How do you see the future of the SMCEC campus? Here are your choices. A world-class regional destination for conventions, entertainment, and innovation. A community-focused campus prioritizing local events and public gatherings. A balanced model combining regional attraction and neighborhood benefits. Other. And you can select all that apply that to your...
Yeah.
I mean, yes.
Yeah.
I think this is really like, no, I want it to be a world-class regional destination, but I don't want it to be a balanced model combining regional attraction and neighborhood events. I mean,
so I think they're trying to figure that question, just again, based off of the meeting I was at. They're trying to hone in if, like, how there's definitely going to be buildings and there's definitely going to be open space, but like how much of each one there is, because things that were really floated around was music and concerts, even in the time of AI or whatever the future holds, is not going anywhere because there's just all types of music and there's all types of things. So it's like, do they want to really pay a lot of attention to making like a state of the art kind of outdoor music venue, or, and then how much of it do they want convention space? Because the convention space is actually fairly small, not to mention how outdated it is just by the nature of the buildings.
And, vintage, we call it.
Yeah. And so
vintage
they also
1965.
So they're also trying to figure out, like, does the convention center want to really be more steered towards like, old, like more 4-H type events or homegrown jewelry shows and those types of things? Or are we trying to attract people who are coming for, you know, the, you know, big timey conventions to compete with Moscone Center and things like that? Because it was brought up that a lot of those centers are also falling into a bit of a disrepair and people are not booking them as much. So can we get those bookings?
So per that line of thinking, another question was, what types of community programs or events would encourage you to visit SMCEC year-round? Your choices: cultural festivals and food events, performing arts and live concerts, farmers markets and local business showcases, sports tournaments or recreation leagues, educational or STEAM programs for youth, like a robotics competition. Hello, robotics competition. That would be amazing there. We've had some here. Half Moon Bay Robotics could go there and take all the gold. But anyways, again, a question like where I kind of think the answer is yes.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like if this is going to be a successful thing, it has to have a wide diversity of offerings. So all of those.
Yes. And I think a lot of those are dependent on the equipment, like how highfalutin the equipment that they get in there, and then also how malleable they make the inside space. So a lot of the different like competitions or conventions and things like that, like if you kind of think of the Cow Palace in
as the gold standard,
no, but
for
I mean,
1905
for like the Dickens Fair. So it's like I got to go to the Dickens Fair for the first time this year, and you know, ultimately, I'm sure that the Cow Palace on a normal day is just wide open space on that inside. But then you see the Dickens Fair turn it into three square blocks of old timiness. Like, it's very malleable because of how it's put together. So I think that's some of the stuff that the event center is trying to figure out, is how much space and how malleable does it need to be. And then also they're adding, you know, like they recently added a glamping thing there and stuff like that. So, you know, I think they're trying to gauge how much of that they keep or change, or like, do people want that stuff?
When you think about the depressing, poverty-stricken, destitute nature of industrial age London and England in the 1850s, yeah, the Cow Palace is the perfect setting for that. Because when you walk in there, you're like, wow, decrepit is the word that comes to mind. So
what?
Perfect.
Have
for
you ever been?
Perfect. Of course I've been to the Dickens Fair.
Yes.
I've been to Renaissance festivals. I haven't been to the Dickens Fair.
It was very, very beautiful.
I would like to, but I don't run in those circles, so I haven't ever had an occasion to go there. Okay, well, kind of in that theme, what overall look and feel would you like the SMCEC to reflect in the future? Now, these are where we actually have some differentiation, where we go some different directions. We have modern, bold, and iconic, which would be like kind of what you kind of would expect. I mean, I feel like this is really, if you're in Silicon Valley and you're going to be like, we are Silicon, this is representing that it has to be modern, bold, and iconic. Like the SoFi Stadium in LA, like just like a design where you go, whoa. Right? Okay. Next choice. Natural and community oriented. I really don't know how that's a like a design feel, but okay, natural, like stone and
yeah. I think like when I hear the modern, bold and iconic, right? Like I think a lot of metal and glass.
Yes.
You know, taller building.
Yeah.
But then when I hear community focused, the second option, like immediately I'm like, the buildings are a little bit smaller. There's like more open space, maybe some, you know, beautiful gardens and trails and an outdoor amphitheater instead of an indoor one.
Okay. Well, your next choice is historic and traditional. So what would that look like? Just leave it as it is? And that's historic and traditional because it's now like 50 years old.
Yeah,
or are we talking like mission style here?
No, probably just a remodel.
You know, red tile roofs and stucco and adobe and stuff.
Yeah, I think it's more just like
okay.
If people...
But wait, you have more choices.
Oh, okay.
Sustainable and green forward.
Uh-huh.
Is that...
More open space.
I mean, again,
solar
like...
panels.
Sustainable and green forward, that should just be like baked into any design.
Maybe, let's see. I would think maybe the open green spaces maximized, limited buildings, probably with the opportunity to put tents up.
I was going to say, because limited buildings and open space don't pay the rent.
Right.
So if you had a bunch of tents, but then...
Well, but then this is where... So I am a fan of Shoreline Amphitheater, of all the places recently that I've got to go to concerts. And it's technically outdoors, but then for the days when the weather's a little, you know, possibly problematic, they have the kind of big tent that goes over it. And so, like, technically that's outdoor, but then they got very creative on how to kind of make it indoors and... weather friendly. So I think things like that would be really cool.
In fact, it's interesting you mentioned Shoreline, because if you go to the KHNB website, to the Coastal Windage webpage, we have a picture kind of half jokingly of an event center, you know, proposal or idea. That was actually a model from the 1974 World's Fair. Wherever that was. Okay, and so then your last option here is inclusive and family friendly. Again, like, no. Let's have an event center that's completely generic and sterile. Yes, which to me goes with modern, bold, and iconic. Modern, bold, steel, glass, aluminum, that, yes, it's bold and iconic, but it also feels sterile and... non-humanistic. So
yeah,
are those
at
odds, or can you
anywhere.
Do both?
Yeah, I mean, ultimately, I think with all the feedback, it's just going to end up being like a mix. It's also going to depend on the budget, right? So they're doing this part of the fact-finding to see what the community would like to see there without having set a real budget, right? Because they're like, either the community is going to want something that's $3 million or, you know, $3 billion, or the community's going to tell us that they like the charm that's there now, and we really just only need to do a remodel versus a whole new build out. So that's the other thing, is like, this is not funded. This is a feasibility. Well, this is a fact finding mission from the community that then will lead into a feasibility study.
All right. And concluding, what three words would you use to describe the SMCEC?
Currently?
Yes, mine were,
Mine would be drab.
Oh.
Not big enough and not fun enough. Which is, I know, more than three words, but...
So, unbig and unfun.
Yeah, there
okay.
We go.
All right, well, there you go.
Meh.
San Mateo County. From a person who knows what she's talking about. All right, let's deep dive into the mailbag. This is always a bit of a wild card. Listeners know, like, yes, we do get some actual physical mail, which I love because I love the whoosh, but I also we get lots of email, and I make the interns print out the email, put them in envelopes and seal the envelopes, and then put them in actual mail sacks that are sitting here on the floor. And then occasionally I just ask them to reach in and pull out random ones, which they say are random, but always seems like they're a little bit meant to
poke
troll me. Yeah. Okay.
Poke the Reuben.
Yes. Well, predictably, we got apparently many emails about our NIMBY segment from a couple of weeks ago. And almost, not surprisingly, almost all of them were either on one extreme side of the fence or the other. Nobody was like, yeah, I mean, good points on both sides. I'll think about it. No. So we just, I asked for like a representative one from each side of the fence. Let's see what we got here. This one's from Roger. Very original Roger.
Roger.
Yeah, Roger. Oh, subject line, NIMBY means something positive to me. Thanks for acknowledging that there is something to be said for the sweat equity of putting your blood, sweat, and tears into a community for decades. I've earned the right. This always makes me a little like, okay, what's happening? I deserve, I'm just saying, Roger. I've earned the right to say yes or no to a project if I want. Doesn't make me a NIMBY or a racist. Yes, I would agree with that. You have the right to say I like something or I don't, and just because you say you like something or you don't doesn't make you a NIMBY or a racist. You might be those things, but just saying that you do or do not like something doesn't necessarily make you that. So I'm with you on there.
But I also, when I hear NIMBY, though, I feel like it's not so much like the decisive, yes, I like this project, no, I don't like this project, and here's why. It's the, yes, but. That's the part that I think people have a hard time.
I believe in affordable housing, but.
But not on the block that's next to my block. I want it 17 blocks to the left. Like, that's, I think, the part that people, like, lose.
I
get the bad feelings over.
I hear you, but it comes back to, again, a case of whose ox is being gored. If you're the person that the 71-unit apartment complex is going up in your backyard, yeah, you're going to feel that way. And if you're someone that lives 5 miles away, you're the one going, dude, come on, we need affordable housing. Stop being a NIMBY. Right. But if it's in your backyard, suddenly you've got a different perspective and you don't want to be called a NIMBY by someone 5 miles away.
Yeah.
You know, so this is where it's a very nuanced and complicated perspective.
But I do appreciate when people come to meetings and have thoughts about a project that are very fact-based, like this, you know, there's not infrastructure for this project. Like, they're going to put this building up, but there's not enough water to feed it. There's not enough parking to feed it. There's not, like, those are very fact-based reasons for a project to not happen or to be talked. And so, like, that I would not consider not in my backyard, because it's not that they're, like, there's just very data-filled reasons for why they don't want it. And it's not the, yes, but just put it that over there.
But having been to numerous meetings, including numerous meetings of the Planning Commission, where I was dismayed at their vote, facts, violations of various ordinances or whatever, apparently have no bearing on these outcomes. It's emotional, sometimes non-fact-based, you know, statements that seem to sway the governing body. So in that sense, like, coming with an armload of facts, great, they're going to go, thank you very much. Next.
True.
So, okay. Let's go to the, I guess, I'm assuming this is the other extreme. So that was pro NIMBY or pro nothing wrong with NIMBY. Okay. This one is from Levitowny. Eat the NIMBYs. Okay. All right.
That's aggressive.
I asked for the off differing perspectives. Okay. What an entitled perspective to say that somebody who just moved here isn't as important as somebody who happened to move here a few years ago. It's really insulting and just further widens the divide among co-siders. Literally the worst thing I've heard anybody say today. Wow. They must not be listening to Fox News then.
But that one also goes both ways, because some people have irritations with people who have just moved here and they are anti any development, and then vice versa, or they just moved here and they're pro. Like, the putting somebody in a box because they just moved here can happen on either side of the fence. It's like a go-to excuse for for dissing their opinion.
Agreed, which is the same thing as the application of NIMBY. So as soon as you call somebody a NIMBY, their position is completely discredited or discounted, or you're saying that. Mm-hmm. I agree, you can't discount somebody's opinion just because they moved here. However, I do think that there's something to be said for listening. For when people come here and they say, I want a Trader Joe's, like, that really bothers me. Like, we've got stuff here. Like, we don't need a Trader Joe's. If you want a Trader Joe's, get a house in San Bruno.
Yeah, and I will say that's the stuff that, and granted, I am only 7 years in, so that's one of the things that I find aggravating from people who do live here, and they make comments, you know, and they're like 2 years in, and then they'll like be down on tourism. It's like, well, for the 20 years that you quote unquote came here before you got a house here, you were a tourist. So if we didn't have tourism, you would have never found this place potentially. So it's like, it's when they want to change things that are actually the things that led them to be here. That's the stuff that makes me bubble.
Well, and I would say this would give some credibility to, like, okay, we got to wrap it up. But if you've been here for 25 years or 40 years and you've raised children here and you have seen what's happened and you understand why things the way they are and have some sensitivity to the situation. But if you're just moving in here and demanding a Trader Joe's or like, let's build more parking, that's the kind of insensitivity of like, hey, you know what? Just come to some meetings and listen for a while.
Guess what? Everything has a sane center. It can be found.
Really?
It can be found.
We're going to have to explore that next week, okay? Because I don't know about that. But I like the idea. Let's talk about it next week, because guess what? We'll be back next week.
How to find your sane center.
At 9 a.m. And we will discuss and dive into how to find your sane center. That could be something that really helped me in my day-to-day life. All right, Coastsiders. Hopefully this helped in your day-to-day and your today. Have a great Friday. We'll talk to you next week. This has been Crystalline, Frank, Noah, and myself, Ruben. Have a great week. Coastal Windage, the talk of the coast.